This could be any office, a large storefront window, receptionist, a waiting area with several people sitting, and several workers answering phones in the center of a large open room surrounded by computer screens. There is, however, a difference. The employees in this office are mostly former gang members and parolees. The office is Homeboy Industries. The place is Boyle Heights in East L.A. This is a story of hope and places not associated with hope, in a neighborhood ravaged by poverty and the despair and violence that often accompanies it. This is the story of the young people of Boyle Heights in East L.A., and how one priest became not simply father, but a surrogate padre to hundreds in this community. It's the story of Father Greg Boyle and his homeboys and homegirls. My name is Brian O'Neill, and I'm a professor of criminal justice at Westchester University in Westchester, Pennsylvania. I met Father Greg, who soon became simply G, when he spoke at my school. Father Boyle first came to Boyle Heights largely because of fate.
I think there's sort of the accident of having, you know, been assigned to be the pastor at Dolores Mission. The accident of me arriving for the first time in the summer of 84 after I was ordained, you know. And the accident of just sort of seeing things evolve here and bearing my first kid in 1988. And then I'll bury my 118th this week.
And how did the idea for Jobs for a Future, Homeboy Industries, how did that all evolve?
Well, Jobs for a Future really began in 1988 when a group of women from the parish, our base community groupings, started to talk about what would help. And so they said, well, what if the factories that surround the projects and the parish, basically, what if they allocated a certain number of jobs, what if they just hired our kids? And so the women in a huge... many hundred of women with these flyers. It wasn't confrontational, but it was just sort of, they knocked on the doors at the factory, the manager came out, they hand them a flyer, they saw all these hundreds of women, you know, and homies too, and said, hire our kids, they're ready to work. Not one person did. So we sort of created a kind of, and the flyer said Jobs for a Future, and it became a slogan, it became a program, you know. And so we started to create our own jobs. You know, we started to get a fund together. We would pay homies to work, paint out graffiti, do maintenance, clean up stuff. So I think at the time of the unrest in 92, we had, you know, 60 or so strategically hired gang members who, you know, didn't set this community on fire because they were employed and they had sort of an investment in the community and a sense of a paycheck and a future, and which really helped. Also in 92 was when Homeboy Industries began, and that was with the bakery. When there was a bakery, a guy was retiring and he wanted to sell his bakery across the street from the church. And so somebody offered to buy it and it became Homeboy Bakery. So the economic development part began with that business. And so Homeboy Industries was born with the bakery.
You used to do a lot of, you know, troubleshooting, literally in the middle of the night, you know, getting on your bicycle, going to hot spots. Has that approach changed a little bit for you?
Yeah, I don't do that anymore. Now we have this kind of big mega center, and it's the model is a more gang rehab. You know, it's not for those who need it. It's for those who want it. If you want it, you'll come here. You know, nobody's going to beg you because it requires them to take the first step. Now, I'm not sure I would do it again. I mean, now this is serves LA County. People come from all of 1,000 gang members a month walk through these doors, so it's sort of a different approach.
So you talked about gangbang as almost a form of suicide in some respects then.
There's no question that gangbanging is suicide. It's self-destruction. It's kids being unable to imagine a future for themselves. Their present isn't compelling, and therefore they do not care whether they inflict harm or duck to get out of harm's way. That's the way it works. And so many of the kids I've buried are suicides in that sense. You know, a lot of them walking into harm's way, you know, failing to care enough to stay away, you know. So...
A more socially acceptable form of suicide.
It is. You know, a lot of middle-class priests probably have buried kids, teenagers who've killed themselves. But, you know, I've buried, will bury this week, 118. you know, how many of those were kids who would have just given up, you know. A lot of them just say, you know, the acceptable way to kill yourself is to walk into your enemy's neighborhood, you know.
So you say the level of violence has decreased somewhat since the 90s, the early 90s?
Yeah, there was a decade of death there, really, which was, you know, probably 88 to 98. It was just intense, you know. Sometimes I'd have three funerals a week. I mean, really hard, hard stuff. So even if there's a spike in violence, nothing compares to those years. Those were really the toughest years. 92 was just a peak year.
Father Boyle is not one to take credit, but his presence in this community is no doubt one of the major reasons gang violence has been reduced. Father Boyle and the agency he founded, Jobs for a Future, provides counseling, family therapy, and tattoo removal, but most of all provides jobs. Jobs form the foundation for change, and they place former enemies side by side as co-workers. Homeboy Industries, a subsidiary of Jobs for a Future, established a silkscreen factory, a graffiti removal service, maintenance service, and up until recently a bakery. The bakery was destroyed in a fire in 1999, but will reopen soon in a new location. Today, Father Greg is highly recognized by everyone in this community as a resource in combating gang violence, but that was not always the case. His relationship with the LAPD has been rocky at times.
In the old days, it was the friend of our enemy is our enemy. And so the police, you know, if they've so thoroughly demonized the gang member, then they will demonize you for helping the gang member. And so, but I think it's, we have a new way of doing policing here in the city, and that's reflective of how, you know, people are, you know, police, I think, have come around. I mean, it's a question, it's not good cop, bad cop. It's smart cop, dumb cop. You know, the smart ones understand what this is. It's a gang rehab center, for God's sakes. And even if you hated what drugs do, or even if you had sort of some hostility towards drug addicts, you wouldn't, you know, demonize the executive director of a drug rehab because he helped drug addicts turn their lives around. How is this different? You're helping gang members deal with their addiction, which is gang violence, you know. And, you know, that's, so it's completely comparable. So I don't get the need to demonize or make monsters of the people who we're not coddling, we're not co-signing on bad behavior. Nobody's holding AK-47s for them until they need them, you know. It's, and trust me, I've been accused of all those things, you know. Holding their guns and drugs and, you know, giving them blessings as they go out and do dastardly deeds. I mean, it's nonsense.
And in fact, this agency was there for all those young people that nobody else would touch. And that became Homeboy Industries' calling card.